WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome to another Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi, and it is the final program of January, last one down in the books, moving on to February, and we have a fantastic show for you. This show is kind of a concept show, more or less, because of a water series that was co-produced, myself and Kate Archer, who is actually serving as my co-host this evening. Kate?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, Kevin. Thanks for having us here today.
You got it. We're expecting a lot of different voices. We already have a small number of folks who participated in a water series that was put together, aired starting January 15th, ran for 5 days. And the concept, the idea behind the topic was Silver Lake water. It's one of those commodities that has a great history to it, but there's also a lot of conversation around it. And it took a year for myself and Kate to put it together, meeting, going over a format, how we wanted to tackle this. Was it strictly to tackle the issues? Was it to, you know, just start from the beginning and work our way forward? Your thoughts as to the process?
Yes, it's a very complex set of issues and policy problems for the cities of Brockton and the towns surrounding. And it's such an important commodity. We have to work together and understand the history, what has been done in the past, what's not working, clearly, and what we need to put into place now to get things better in coming years. It's not a problem that's going to be solved overnight, but we have to start planning and changing our behaviors now.
And the thought is to hear from different folks who were kind enough to sit down with us, you know, answer some of our questions, whether it was on video, whether it was just simply us recording their answers. They're here, stakeholders, community leaders, folks who are in prominent positions, folks who know the issue inside and out, some folks who are part of the issue, some of the folks who are part of the problem, maybe. But we have joining us in studio, we have Pine Dubois.
I'm not part of the problem.
No. Charlie would say that. I would not say that.
Glad to be here, Char.
Executive Director of the Jones River Watershed Association, correct?
Right.
She's here. She's a prominent voice in our water series. Very helpful when it came to the history of Silver Lake. Charles Matheson, who loves being in the nooks and the crannies of a lot of those meetings and extracting, you know, the headline, not burying the lead, but finding the issue, the one thing that the argument is being caused by. And he has attended many Central Plymouth.
Go ahead,
district,
say the whole title. Let's hear it.
Central Plymouth County Water Commission.
No.
A water district.
Yes.
Water district commission.
Commission.
Yes. It just falls off the tongue.
It certainly does.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk.
I must add that I'm not sure what was at the end of that that spot by Brennan's, but I swear it was, he was trying to do Elvis, but it didn't work. He's usually spot on with some of his impressions, but thank you very much for Jeffrey and his sponsoring of the traffic. Now, as I was going to do before, we had a step away for traffic, is introduce the final person who's in studio at the moment. We're expecting more folks to join us one way or the other. We know that there is weather on its way. We could see some snow, so the crew that we have here might be it, or we might have more people joining us, and I'll tell you who they are in just a moment. We have, I believe, Halifax's health agent, Kathy Drinan.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Good
evening.
I practiced it five times in my head. So, Kathy, kind enough to be here, very interested in this situation, seeing that you're also part of the Mumponset Watershed Association.
I'm also on the advisory board for the Central Plymouth County Water District.
My goodness. How many hats do you wear?
A few.
Okay. We're also expecting to hear from, or hopefully seeing, State Representative Tom Coulter. Spoke to Megan in his office Friday, and the understanding was is that somehow, some way, we would hear from the state representative. He would be a part of this. As I introduced earlier, Charlie, who has covered a lot of these meetings and has been involved, and I think you might have even done a water series or two yourself, or done something on issues on the cyanobacteria and Mumponset.
I've covered this issue so much I could have done 12 of these.
I know.
Yes, it's been going on for a long time.
And that's what we're going to do. In just a moment, we will listen to the first segment. The idea is to play each one of these segments, have a little bit of a conversation. I know 2 hours isn't going to be nearly enough, but at least I can have some of the folks who were kind enough to give myself and my co-host, Kate, time to sit down and discuss this, their thoughts on not only what we put together, but if there's additional stuff or even more stuff that we want to make sure we put out there. Maybe there's updates to what we put together. We're also supposed to be hearing from Jack O'Leary. He's the chair of said Central Plymouth County Water District Commission. I'm just going to say Central Plymouth from now on, Charlie.
That's fine.
Or I'll kick you out of the room. One or the other. I haven't decided yet. He may be calling in. We're expecting to hear from him. Brockton City Councilor Wynn Falwell. He will be calling in. We'll hear from him after 7 o'clock. Don Howard, a Hanson selectman. He's also a water commissioner in that community. We're hoping to see or hear from him shortly. State Representative Michelle Dubois. She has somehow been added into this. And Kathy, I think you said that there might be somebody else from the Mumponset Watershed?
I thought Don Barrows from the Mumponset Watershed was attending.
Okay, so we'll anticipate his attendance as well. All input is good. Depending on what we have for time, maybe we might even open up the phone lines. But I think right now, the folks who are here, the experts, folks who have dealt with this issue, we could kind of have the conversation about it. I did put in a request with the chief of staff for Mayor Bill Coppin of Brockton. And the idea was is he was going to reach out and see if he would be able to call in. That may happen. I do not know. But I exchanged text messages with him. Let's see what happens. It'd be nice if we could hear from the mayor, who was also kind enough to give us a few words on this. So it's very interesting. So, folks, if you don't mind, let's start off with the first segment. Kate, the first segment deals with what?
The history and the background, and Pine can follow up with some more very interesting information. I learned a lot about why Silver Lake is called Silver Lake and where that all came from and some of that, the early days.
Ben, if you'd be so kind to please play segment one.
Silver Lake and its surrounding water bodies is an extremely valuable and historically problematic commodity for those communities that adjoin them or have use of the resource. This five-part series will explore and expose, discuss and debate the history, consequences, rights, roles and responsibilities of some of the current, alternative and future uses of this most important watershed located on the South Shore. Part one of the series, WATD's Kevin Tachi, will explore the rich history of Silver Lake and how it has changed and evolved over the years to become what is known to the area as Silver Lake. Here's Kevin Tachi.
Water, with
without doubt is one of the most important substances on Earth. The problem is that many take this valuable resource for granted. It is seen as a commodity for consumption, recreation, and an engine for economic development. However, after recent droughts and infrastructure crises, some South Shore communities have begun to question the current practices of those who manage and use the Plymouth County Water District. Silver Lake and the neighboring ponds were historically formed by glaciers.
It was formed by the glacier as it retreated. So there were a couple of different lobes that created all of what we know on the South Shore and southeastern Mass. And it left a lake called Glacial Lake Taunton. And I think Silver Lake is a remnant of that. It's the deepest remnant of that. It's 75 feet deep at its deepest point.
Pine Dubois is the executive director of the Jones River Watershed Association, who has a keen understanding of the history and use of Silver Lake and the region.
You know, it's a great pond, but it's not a 10-acre great pond. It's a 640-acre great pond. It's 2 miles long and a half a mile wide, and four towns surround it. So there's a lot of genuine love and history around Silver Lake that people are really attached to.
Archaeological studies in the area have uncovered Native American artifacts and that the colonial settlers had migrated to Silver Lake for its abundance of resources.
Colonists were ingenious as well as able to, you know, once they came to the Jones River area, they cut trees, they made sawmills, the water powered the sawmills, the water powered the forges. And at Silver Lake, there was this forge, Forge Pond, during the Revolutionary War, they mined iron out of Silver Lake and made cannonballs for the Revolutionary Army.
Day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water.
Through recreation and local industry, the Great Pond gained its name.
Ice was cut out of Silver Lake. They called it Silver Lake then because Silver Lake ice sold better in the Caribbean than Jones River Pond ice. So it was called Silver Lake ice.
Silver Lake was also home to various activities like boat races, swimming, and theater until 1899, when the state allowed the only city in Plymouth County to attain exclusive rights to its use. Dubois says this action angered Kingston residents.
They weren't so sorry to allow the city of Brockton to use the lake, but once they weren't allowed to fish there anymore, they weren't allowed to boat there anymore, the town of Kingston sued them for adversely affecting their own water supply because it was the flow of the water that was being impacted.
At that time, Brockton legislatively secured Silver Lake for the purposes of drinking water, fire safety, and economic development. The city would later look to gain control of other neighboring water resources.
Brockton start looking back to Kingston. We want the Pine Brook. We want Howard Brook. We want other ponds, which took until 1964 to actually get an additional water supply. So there was a lot of stress. There was a lot of ingrained political battle over the water supply, and it had to do with management as it does today.
In part two of this series on Silver Lake and its uses as a resource, we'll explore some of the problems caused by the lack of appropriate water management. Kevin Tocci, WATD News.
I just want to say it took a while to train the birds to do it at the right time. I'm glad it paid off. Folks, thoughts in regards to the first segment?
I guess the thing that I would emphasize from the legislation in 1899 was Brockton got that right as long as it also provided water to Whitman, because Whitman had gotten the right first. They got the right in, I think it was 1880. But Whitman, being a much smaller town, wasn't able to actually do the development that it would take. I mean, Silver Lake is 17 miles from Brockton, about that far from Whitman. So it took a long pipeline and a lot of effort, and I don't think Whitman was up to it. So the legislature in 1899 said, okay, Brockton, you can have it as long as you give Whitman water, too. So that's why today Brockton still provides the town of Whitman with water as well. But there was a distinction back then, and it was for domestic purposes. So I think in your summary you said, you know, domestic fire and development. You know, it wasn't supposed to be for industry. It wasn't supposed to be 1 million gallons a day for the Veterans Hospital to wash the region's clothes, you know? It wasn't supposed to be for Dunkin' Donuts and washing down the buses and, you know, doing those other things that drive any city. I won't object to fire suppression, but that's what triggered the 1964 legislation.
Was a fire?
It was... There was an enormous drought in 1964 that many people think of as the historic drought. And the city had taken Silver Lake down about 24 feet. And so they had run out of water, and there were Rep Coulter will tell you this because he grew up in Brockton and he wound up in the hospital due to a fire. So the city was not able to contain the fires, and even though this legislation had been pending in front of the legislature for a good 10 years, if not longer. Nobody wanted to give Brockton Munponset Pond and Furnace Pond. It became a compromise because the city was literally on fire. And so out of that need, you know, people respond. But it was recognized, and it's throughout the legislature does studies before they pass laws like this. And they said, you know, we know this is not enough water for Brockton. We, just like they knew in 1920 that Silver Lake was not enough water. In 1964, they knew that Munponset Pond and Furnace Pond and Silver Lake together were not enough water. And that's why the Central Plymouth County Water District was established, was to find Brockton more water. Mm. But that didn't happen.
Let's go back to the 1899 law.
Yep.
And context there. Brockton was not that old at that time. It had been North Bridgewater. And as a city, it was a fairly young place. And it was called, rightly so, the most progressive city in the world. Let's remember that Edison did many of his first public works there. It was the first Main Street illuminated by electric light, the first electric movie theater in the world. And it was a very progressive in the modern sense of the term word. And it had just recently been North Bridgewater, a very small community. And on industry, it was the shoe capital of the world. The Knapp Company and a couple of others got contracts to make boots for the Union Army. Where did they power that? With water. So they had water adequate for North Bridgewater and North Bridgewater's commerce. But when Brockton became a city and started to grow, particularly after World War II, with the Campanella developments on the east side, the Silver Lake was just not going to make it.
Yeah, but if you go back, Charlie, to the Brockton Water Department annual reports, you'll see that in 1920, they didn't have enough water.
Sure.
So that by 1955, you know, it was a crisis, and that's why they were going after the legislature.
Was there any argument or any documentation as to any other alternatives than Silver Lake? Was there anything?
Well, they were the same alternatives that were talked about in the 60s, and that is, you know, the wells in Cane's Pit, mm-hmm. the wells mm-hmm. in Brockton, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But they used the Avon Reservoir way back mm-hmm. when. And as soon as they got Munponset Pond, they stopped doing that, so that recently, I would say in the 90s, Avon was brought back on when that first administrative consent order was issued.
So somebody asked me once, why not the water in Fields Park?
That's the Avon Reservoir.
That is the Avon Reservoir.
But all of the ponds there, that's considered Avon Reservoir?
I won't be able to say that, but it's on, I'm going to forget the name of the stream, but that reservoir there was enlarged by Brockton in the 90s. They also enlarged the treatment plant. They have a permit to use 800,000 gallons a day. They use much less than that. In fact, a couple of days ago, they were using 300,000 gallons a day. There's 14 inches of water going over that dam. There's nothing going over the dams at Silver Lake. Brockton mismanages their water, and that's really the issue that we should get to. And part of that mismanagement is they haven't paid enough attention on what are the additional supplies we should have.
And is that an issue of cost or convenience or both?
I think Brockton always makes it about cost, but that doesn't mean that that's the answer.
Fine,
I mean,
how much does Brockton pay for Silver Lake water?
Well, they don't pay the four towns anything.
Exactly.
What they do is they have a contract with a private company to provide treatment and delivery of that water.
But they're getting free water.
But they're not paying anything for the water, but it's at great expense to the rest of the Commonwealth.
And it costs them. That shouldn't be forgotten. So when they talk about what they can't afford, they forget to mention that they could reduce the costs of maintaining and treating the water that they're taking from Monpont Ponds and Silver Lake.
Well, if they weren't dumping Monpont Pond into there, they wouldn't have such high treatment
don't
costs.
Don't cheat ahead, kids. let's listen to part two.
Yes, Mr. Tarchi.
Yes. Well, this again, we don't want to get ahead of
this. I appreciate that.
We don't want to get ahead of this because, I mean, we can empty it out between the fourth and fifth segment, after the fifth segment. Ben, if you will, let's play the second cut, and that is on cause and effect.
Environmental issues and water-related problems have plagued the region that abuts and uses Silver Lake. Management of these water bodies in the Plymouth County Water District has been historically challenging. In part two of the series, WATD's Kevin Tonchi looks at some of the issues that have developed and could have long-term ramifications for Silver Lake and the adjoining ponds.
Society has become all too ignorant when it comes to the availability of safe, clean water. Recent problems with water quality in Toledo, Ohio, and Flint, Michigan have illustrated the devastating consequences when this precious resource is not properly managed. Regionally, many have been impacted from issues directly related to Silver Lake and its adjoining ponds. According to Pine Dubois, executive director of the Jones River Watershed Association, drought played a major role in the 1964 state legislation that allowed Brockton to divert from other neighboring water resources.
When the plant was built, they installed a lower intake structure. They had the diversions in it. And they started to use those diversions to fill up the lake again. Remember, you've got Silver Lake, which was named Silver Lake because of its crystal clear water, with two swampy ponds being dumped into it, being chlorinated. So that had an effect on it.
However, water diversion has caused other problems in the area. Local officials continue to deal with cyanobacteria, more commonly known as blue-green algae, which blooms in the east and west Monpont ponds. The town of Halifax doesn't consume water from either pond, but heavily relies on them for other uses.
We don't use it like Brockton does, but it's a recreational resource, and it's a significant one for the town and for the area. There's a state boat ramp there along with a town beach and a couple of town boat ramps.
That's Halifax Town Administrator Charlie Seelig. He says the community has been working for a number of years to reduce the amount of nutrients in the ponds.
We've done what are called aluminum sulfate treatments, which what they do is that they bind the phosphorus that's in the pond, and that's gone into the pond over decades and decades, from cranberry bogs, from septic systems that weren't working, for commercial development in the area. We have a lot of upstream flows coming into the pond, and over the years, the phosphorus levels have gone up.
At times, the blooms have forced the town to limit access to the waterways.
During the last few years, especially the last two, by mid-June and then all the way into November or December, the pond was closed for recreational use because of the high levels of algae.
State Representative Tom Calter, who represents a couple of the communities impacted by the current situation, sees a common theme within the Central Plymouth County Water District.
The city of Brockton ratepayers, taxpayers, citizens are at risk of losing something they've had in large quantity for a long time for free, and that's clean water. because the quality and the quantity are significantly threatened. The people around Monpont Pond and Silver Lake are at risk of losing precious bodies of water that they've been entitled to use for decades, and that in fact their use is protected under the current law. So everybody is losing.
Water use in the region continues to be highly contested and examined. In our next installment, we'll explore the rights, roles, and responsibilities of the many stakeholders involved in this fight for clean water. Kevin Tocci, WATD News.
So we've had a lot of contentious discussions about cause and effect, especially about the cyanobacteria. So I wanted to ask you, Kathy, how are things going with that right now with the bacteria the past couple summers, compare maybe this summer to the one before that, 2016?
The numbers are low, but they're still above DPH's, the Department of Public Health's protocol, which we have to follow. So they were still high enough that the pond was closed. And unusually, also something that's worsened is that it seems to be spreading into the East Monpont Pond. So that's a worsening effect. But they've still been closed.
My question, which is interesting, is that when we were doing the conversations regarding the water series, and I had a chance to speak with Brockton officials, like the first reflex of a Brockton official would be is that Brockton has did not cause what's going on in the two Monpont Ponds. Why do you guys think that is? Anybody?
Well, they can always point to runoff, et cetera, but it comes down to the level of the pond. If the sun does not penetrate deep enough to make the phytobacteria grow, then there hadn't been a problem in hundreds of years, but now that the levels are low, suddenly there's a problem. We can argue over failed septic systems and over-fertilization of cranberries maybe coinciding with that, but still, they never want to address the level of the water. Yes?
And the stagnation.
Stagnation because there's no flow.
Right.
Because if you look at it, East Monpont Pond should have been polluted a long time ago because of the water, but the water hasn't been flowing.
I mean, part of the problem is the compromise, the act that was the compromise. So because Monpont Pond and Furnace Pond, the other pond involved, were both recreational ponds way back then, and nobody was going to say to, you know, Halifax and Hanson and Pembroke, you can't swim in the water, you can't boat in the water, you can't use the water for recreational purposes. What they did was say, Brockton, you can only take it when they're not using. You can only take it from October 1st until May. That's when you can use the water. And in fact, you can only take it if you keep it higher than its normal level. So you have to build up the reservoir in that pond, and that's where the dams came in. So they raised the dams up, made the pond, Monpont Pond and Furnace both, a foot deeper than they used to be. That caused flooding of the septic systems and flooding of the yards. And so all of that nutrient that used to get filtered slowly into the pond went in all at once. Do you need to take a break?
We do take you are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 959 WATD. And this is an extended conversation regarding Silver Lake, the water body, and the surrounding and neighboring ponds. When we come back, more of Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
It's Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tocci, on 95.9 WATD. Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tocci and Monday Night Talk.
We are back here on Monday Night Talk, and again, we are discussing Silver Lake, the water series that was co-produced by myself and Kate Archer. Also in the room right now, Pine Dubois, and also Kathy Drynan, and Charles Matheson is here, and we're expecting to hear from other folks
who were part of this series as we are airing them. Now, before we get play the next installment, which is installment 3, that's Rights, Roles, and Responsibilities, I believe Pine wanted to, you wanted to address one quick thing regarding stagnation.
I just wanted to say that with that artificial flooding of the landscape, dumping more pollutants into the pond, and then failing to discharge the water. Brockton built dams. They control the outlet. The legislation requires and says, during the diversion period, you shall always be releasing at least 900,000 gallons down Stump Brook, which is out of Monponset Pond, every day. They took that to mean the only time we need to release water is when we're diverting. Instead of, you got to release at least 900,000 when you're diverting, assuming that it's always going to be flowing down Stump Brook like it always had historically. So they changed the management. They changed the nature of the place without addressing the pollutant load that was coming into it and the pollutant load that they exacerbated by their management.
And speaking of changing the nature of it, they changed nature because Stump Brook flows into the Taunton River watershed, or used to before it was dammed. Mm. And Silver Lake is not in the Taunton River watershed.
No, but it gets flushed down the Taunton River.
Right.
Literally, through Brockton.
Right.
All right, so we're going to move on to the third part of this. Now, before you do, I want to at least also acknowledge working with the managing news editor, Christine James, and Rob Hackler. They were very instrumental as a sounding board to be able to put the stuff together and get their thoughts on what the direction that it was going. So a thank you to Christine and Rob for their insight and their assistance on at least helping us push it across the finish line. And so let's do the third part.
We continue Kevin Tocci's special feature series on Silver Lake. A water resource like Silver Lake is a shared responsibility. However, human use and governance has not always been easy. Kingston, Halifax, Plimpton, and Pembroke are communities that surround and have direct access to Silver Lake, but it is the primary water supply for the city of Brockton. Today, in part 3 of our series, WATD's Kevin Tocci examines the rights, roles, and responsibilities of the Plymouth County Water District and the communities that use Silver Lake.
History has taught us that when governing boards like committees, commissions, and panels are created, it's usually done to tackle an issue, resolve problems, and manage a situation. The Central Plymouth Water District Commission, which is currently chaired by Jack O'Leary, was instituted for that very purpose.
Its role is to have executive authority over the water resources in the Central Plymouth County District, which includes Silver Lake, Monponset Ponds, East and West, Furnace Pond, and some smaller water bodies. And that role is to look into studies for additional water supplies.
The commission does its best to serve the 8 communities in the district that adjoin Silver Lake and the other neighboring bodies of water. However, policies that had been put in place are meant to address very specific concerns and problems in the region.
When we have a drought such as we had in the last couple of years, Silver Lake gets drawn down quite a bit. It's very dramatic, especially if you fly over it and see how much land that used to be underwater is now it was exposed to the air. That drawdown has dramatic effects both on our anticipation of lack of water because it has been drawn down so much that it couldn't supply water to Brockton in the past.
The recent drought had an impact on local shellfish and wildlife populations, as well as high concentrations of cyanobacteria. The problem that some are concerned with is future long-term diversion into Silver Lake.
The Brockton water system can divert water from the Monponset ponds into Silver Lake, and it does so every year. And it does it when the algae is not blooming, but the underlying excess nutrients that are in Monponset Pond are being diverted to Silver Lake during that time period. So it's setting the stage for the water quality of Silver Lake to be degraded and for a potential for a toxic algae bloom to occur.
Words could never explain. I just wish it would rain.
Brockton's current administration, led by Mayor Bill Carpenter, believes it's doing all it can do to address these issues.
Brockton over the last 10 years has taken on major conservation efforts, including fixing all the leaks in our system, which has saved millions of gallons of water per day. We consume less water now per day than we did 10 years ago, and we've added a secondary water supply that voluntarily, proactively, during the warm weather months, we have reduced our consumption of water from Silver Lake to minimize the impact on the area down there.
According to records, the city was mandated by the state in 1994 to find an alternative source to supplement its overstressed water supply. This action led to the construction of the Aquaria Water Desalination Plant that was built on the Taunton River in Dighton. During the most recent drought, Carpenter notes that the city utilized that secondary water resource to ease the use of Silver Lake.
We took 3.5 million gallons per day from Aquaria for 100 consecutive days. That's 350 million gallons of water that we did not take out of Silver Lake that we could have contractually, but we didn't because we are sensitive to whatever environmental impacts that we have down there.
Most of the stakeholders implemented and observed a water ban during the spring of 2016. There's some like Pine Dubois, executive director of the Jones River Watershed Association, who have openly questioned Brockton's methods of conservation.
We were up in the city hall last July waiting to be heard by the city council. We came out and we took pictures of Brockton irrigating city hall and all of the water running down the street into the gutter. That was Silver Lake water. How do you think that made us feel, you know? The lake is plummeting, we're on water restrictions, and there's spewing water everywhere. Why? To make 2 feet width of grass green.
Kate Archard, a UMass Boston educator and key contributor to this series, recently served on the Brockton Water Commission. She says there's a slight discrepancy with the mayor's numbers regarding the use of the water desalination plant.
According to public record, during the worst times of the drought in 2016, Aquaria was used 65 days, and they weren't even consecutive days.
It's worth noting that when the state's Department of Environmental Protection issued the consent decree that Brockton obtain a secondary water source, it did not legislatively mandate its use. In part four of this series, we'll examine the other water alternatives that are actively being debated and discussed. Kevin Tocci, WATD News.
To Monday Night Talk, and joining the conversation is State Representative Tom Calto. Tom, welcome to the program, and thank
Good
you
evening.
For your input.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I've captured every minute of this show on my ride back from Boston, and I want to compliment you and Kate for a documentary that's well done. Well done.
Was there, I guess, probably the one question that I wanted to ask, and that's in regards to the Central Plymouth Water County Water District Commission. How important is a board like this?
Could you say that again, Kevin?
How important is the County Water District Commission?
Well, 5 years ago, the commission was inactive.
Right.
And there was no Central Plymouth Water Commission. And Brockton was free to make whatever unilateral decisions it wanted to make, notwithstanding Pine and Kathy standing up for the rights of our citizens. But Pine and Kathy had no statutory authority. The Central Plymouth Water Commission has got built-in statutory authority. Brockton wasn't open to recognize that authority. In fact, they argued in the original 64 legislation that authority was referring to the Brockton Water Authority. Mm-hmm. And of course, House Counsel made that crystal clear for them, but they learned the art of deflection well before our president.
Kathy, you're Pine, do you want to weigh in? Or even Charles?
Well, I've attended and reported on most, if not all, of the meetings of the Central Plymouth County Water District Commission. And Tom is right that they brought some authority to the situation. Pine and I have been talking about this for more years than we want to admit. And suddenly there was some legislative authority. However, Brockton at some point just refused to obey the orders of the commission.
Kathy? They also brought people together. There were a couple times when they very quickly gathered thousands of signatures and petitions. So that's another powerful force.
Pine?
This is the second go-round that I've been involved with the Central Plymouth County Water District Commission. It met for a little while in the 80s. It got deflected. When Brockton didn't want to meet anymore, it didn't meet anymore. Fortunately, because of Tom, Rep. Coulter, you know, and others, we got it back going again. I hope that this time we do see a different result, that the commission really does take action. They have the capacity right now to hire consultants to respond to Brockton's resource management plan that they just released. You know, the legislature has provided, there's been money given to the Central Plymouth County Water District Commission to do that, to hire consultants. So they're gonna be checking on some of Brockton's surveys. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be looking at the resource management plan, which is a public comment period until I believe the end of February. It's very important that people take a look at that. I just got a link today. Maybe we can give it to you, Kevin.
Sure.
So that you can put it on your website so that people can respond to that. My problem with it, obviously, is that it's limited to a couple of issues over in Monponset Pond, and it doesn't address the larger substance issue of they need to say how they're going to consistently use that water that the mayor was talking about them using for 100 days. They have to consistently use that water for, I would argue, 10 months of the year at least, to at least 4 million gallons, if not more. And if they don't get to 5 or 6 million gallons, then they still need another supply to offset the damage they're doing to the region.
Pine, you mentioned that the commission has money, but it has $50,000.
Right,
and I've watched them struggle over how do they spend $50,000. They have no staff, they have three volunteers, and they have a huge task. Everyone that's been involved in this is grateful that they are there, but they really
can't
have
just take volunteers, is what you're saying.
They have the hands tied.
Charles, anything you want to say before you leave? Because we're going to step aside at the top of the hour. But I know that you're going to be going off to another important meeting that you're going to cover for our news department.
Yes, I am. I think you're in good hands. I've talked with all of these people many times on this issue, and the passion is there in the Silver Lake towns. I was also at a mayoral debate in Brockton where we just about needed to be escorted off the property by police because I had the audacity to ask, what's going to happen when the Silver Lake towns revolt against Brockton taking its water? And the mob was incredible. Don't talk about taking our water. It's our water. Okay, with that, I will leave you.
Thank you, Charles.
And give my chair up to the estimable Mr. Don.
Well, no, actually, we'll take care of that in a moment. But we're going to step aside, top of the hour. When we come back, hour number two of Monday Night Talk, we will continue this conversation about Silver Lake Water. Don't go anywhere.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD-FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are back with more Monday Night Talk, and more folks are joining us. We have State Representative Michelle Dubois. We have two Dubois for the price of one.
Yes, hi, Kevin.
How are you? Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
I've missed you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're not going to return the miss, huh? Okay. Dawn Howard, who is a Hanson selectman, also was a part of this series and a water commissioner. How are you, sir?
I'm very fine, Kevin. Good to invite me down.
I'm glad to have you here. And the missus, of course, is...
Yeah, she's out in the other room.
Do you want to say hi to her? Maybe she's listening.
Well, hi, Claire.
And Wynn is on... Wynn Falwell is on the phone line. The city councilor, at-large councilor, is on the line. But what we're going to do right now, if you will, Ben, let's cue up the fourth segment. And, of course, the fourth segment is about alternatives.
We continue with Kevin Tachi's special five-part feature series on Silver Lake. Part four today, concerns over how the city of Brockton has managed Silver Lake and its surrounding brooks, ponds, and tributaries, along with recent droughts, have pushed local and state leaders to look at alternatives for this dwindling resource, that being clean water. Part four of his series on Silver Lake, WATD's Kevin Tachi reviews some of the alternatives, such as the MWRA and the Aquaria desalinization plan. Here's Kevin with part four of his special series.
Political solutions for environmental problems always come with some form of trade-offs. The stakeholders who are impacted by Silver Lake do not agree with what the alternative should or might be. While gathering information for this series, each stakeholder was asked what they felt would be a viable solution regarding water alternatives and current practices for Silver Lake. Central Plymouth Water District Commission Chair Jack O'Leary explains the implication of each option.
One of which was an aquifer down in Plymouth, which is, as it turned out, if it was utilized, it might create some ecological issues in the isolated kettle holes in the southeast mass. They obviously pursued and built the Aquaria desalinization plant, but its ability to supply water is limited. It is a energy intensive use. It needs energy to take the salt out of the water. So frankly, their record shows they aren't willing to spend the money to use it. Now, MWRA has a lot of excess capacity, is what we understand, and it's not so far away that it would be unduly expensive to connect Brockton to it.
Did you ever have to make up your mind and pick up on one and leave the other behind? It's not often easy and not often kind. Did you ever have to make up your mind?
However, Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter was adamant as to what the city's options are when considering alternatives.
MWRA today is not a viable option. It's not even close. And anyone that's looked at our situation at all and looked at the contracts and the numbers and our usage and then looked at what it would cost if we could get the connection to MWRA, it's cost prohibitive. It's just the MWRA is not the answer. The answer is for us to purchase Aquaria.
State Representative Tom Coulter, who is actively working on multi-phased legislation to address water management issues, disagrees that the MWRA option is off the table.
The first phase is an emergency preamble that says that immediately Brockton must conserve. They must take immediate measures to conserve and to reduce the amount of water they're using. The second phase talks about the sources of their water. And it refers to the use of Aquaria, it refers to the continued use of Silver Lake, but eventually to the changeover to the MWRA at an appropriate time.
Brockton officials have been negotiating over the past two administrations to buy the desalination plant. The current asking price sits at $78 million.
I am convinced that the best option for the city of Brockton is to purchase and own Aquaria. And that would benefit the communities in the vicinity of Silver Lake and Montponset because it would make it easier and less expensive for us to use Aquaria water. Right now, Aquaria water is an expensive proposition for the city of Brockton, and the finances do somewhat limit our ability to use Aquaria water. If we own the plant and we're operating it, we can generate 4 million gallons a day for not much difference in cost than what we would generate 1 million gallons per day for.
Before the water plant can be purchased, officials like Brockton City Councilor Wynn Falwell needs answers in order to make a sound legislative decision.
Well, given the fact that water is going to be a major issue in so many communities, and given the fact that the MWRA is a well-established water resources authority, and particularly given the fact that they have 100 million gallon per day excess capacity, I just think it would be foolish not to at least undertake a very careful study of what options might be available for Brockton and the region. For example, if Brockton were to tie into the MWRA, perhaps other communities could tie in through Brockton. We could be a part of the regional solution to long-term water needs.
In the final part of this series, we'll review the future of Silver Lake and its use. I'm Ben Tachi, WATD News.
Ben, I think it's time for us to bring the city councilor in on the line. He was the last voice we heard, Wynn Falwell. Councilor, welcome to the group discussion.
Thank you. Nice to join all of you.
And just so I'll give you a lay of the land as to who is here in studio, starting from my left, your right. We have Pine Dubois.
I would.
We have Representative Tom Coulter. We have Halifax Health Agent Kathy Drynan. We have Hanson Selectman Don Howard. We have State Representative Michelle Dubois. And to my immediate right is Kate Archer.
Hi, Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi. How is everyone doing?
Pretty good.
So, Wynn, I guess right out of the box, I got to ask you, that is, where do things stand? Last we knew that Aquaria, the possible purchase, was before the city council last legislative session. I believe that the session ended without any action by the city council, correct?
That's correct. Well, let's back up a minute. Let's go to August of 2014, and the mayor and the chief financial officer were absolutely convinced that we should purchase the plant for $88 million, and that was the rock-bottom price. Then fast forward to 2017, and they negotiated a price of $78 million, and they're convinced that this is the way to go. And as far as I'm concerned, and I have spent hour after hour analyzing this and even talking to people who run a desal plant that produces about 2.3 million gallons per day, one, the plant is not worth anywhere near $78 million, and two, we would be taking on some financial obligations long-term that would, I think, choke the city. So I still believe that we should take all of the relevant stakeholders, get together, and using our legislative delegation in Brockton, of which Representative Dubois is part, along with other representatives and Senator Brady, and let's put together a comprehensive plan that will address all of the different issues that the different communities have raised. My primary problem with the current situation, and I share some of the concerns which the people in that room have expressed, hopefully Brockton will grow. When we first started taking water from Silver Lake, we were a smaller community. So now the consumption has gone up dramatically. To me, the MWRA offers an opportunity for us to potentially tie into an authority that's well established with the capacity. And the initiation fee, or the hookup fee, as you might call it, you can amortize that over a 25-year period interest-free. So let's just assume it cost $8 million for Brockton to tie into the MWRA. We could amortize that $8 million over 25 years without any interest, and we would be part of an authority which has a well-established aquifer, I might add. You know, the Taunton River, for all of its scenic beauty, is still a river. And what would happen if we were tied up to Aquaria and there was pollution in the river and it compromised our ability to draw down? The other thing that I understand, you've got some experts in the room, it is very, very costly to do the reverse osmosis process. The energy consumption is exceedingly high. The other thing I understand is that it takes about approximately 1.7 gallons of water, brackish water, to produce 1 gallon of potable water. I'm not sure if we were to go to 6-7 million gallons a day, even if we were allowed to do that from the Aquaria plant, I'm not sure we'd get the permits to do that. I don't know if they would allow us to take out 14 million gallons per day out of the Taunton River. And Pine and some others may know more than I do, but, you know, let's put aside the political, shall we say, non-cooperation, and let's really put all of our collective minds together and come up with something that will hopefully benefit all of the communities and especially the city for the next 50 or 100 years. And I'm just speaking as an individual counselor. I cannot bind the city or the administration to a course of action, but I think we're right at that point in time where this has reached critical mass and we could really get some positive things done.
If I could hear from Representative Dubois, because I believe that you had mentioned in regards to the legislative delegation, Representative, your thoughts on what the counselor had mentioned in regards to getting something done, whether it's MWRA, whether it's going the Aquaria route.
So I, too, can speak for myself. I can't speak for the Brockton delegation. So as a state representative that I represent Brockton, all of West Bridgewater, and a little bit of East Bridgewater, I represent around 30,000 people in Brockton. And the water rights that we're talking about are Brockton's water rights from the 1890s. I know that there's a lot of talk about the 1960s water rights when there was this drought, and that created the Plymouth District Water Board, or whichever the way wording goes for that water board. And that water board only has regulation over the two smaller water bodies. So I think there's some conflating of the authority of the Plymouth District Water Board. The Plymouth District Water Board does not have authority over Brockton's management of its water as far as Silver Lake goes. From the very beginning of this, before being a city councilor for 3 years, I was a state representative for 3 years. I was a city councilor for 10 years, and I'm very familiar being an environmentalist about this issue. And from the very beginning, my position was Brockton could be a 25% of the problem and can be more than 25% of the solution. But instead of getting to the solution, there was all this politics and nasty talk and some real disgusting talk about how Brockton is the problem and the people I represent are ruining communities in the South Shore, which in the end, after the DEP did a report, the DEP agreed scientifically was a bunch of slander, I think, push against urban people to really trigger them and make them feel like they're less worthy. And so I think that we can find an answer if that answer isn't to tell Brockton people that they're ruining a water source. Because there was a deal made back in 1890. People were moving to that pond system. And the deal was made that the people in this area wanted the city to be developed in Brockton. They didn't want the city to be developed around the Silver Lake area. They wanted the rural nature, and they wanted that. So there was a deal made in 1890. And as a state representative, I am more than happy to work on finding solution. But if there is legislation passed that takes away Brockton's water rights, and that will never happen, but if for some fantasy it actually did happen, there's a case of that happening in Massachusetts not too long ago. And when the legislature made a mistake of taking away a city's drinking water rights that were secured in the 1890s, that city went to court and they got them back. So we can't leave 100,000 people without their drinking water. So I'm happy to help find the solution, but taking away Silver Lake is not it. Thank you.
Is there, do we have any other consensus? Anybody else who wants to weigh in?
Oh, I'd love to weigh in, but yeah. I think Rep. Coulter.
Yes, if I may, first of all, Councilman Farwell, I genuinely want to thank you for your leadership on this issue. I know it's not easy speaking to truth when the truth doesn't necessarily provide an easy pathway for the folks you represent. So in these difficult times when the truth doesn't often matter, I just want to congratulate you, sir, on standing up, doing your homework, doing your analysis, and engaging in a very, very fact-driven discussion. So before I say anything, Wynn, I want to say thank you to you for that.
Thank you.
The representative just spoke of a deal that was made in the 1800s. I think it's important to note the deal that was made on Valentine's Day in 2017. It was called an administrative consent order, executed between the City of Brockton and the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Management. It's an enforceable document, and it's a document that requires the city to develop a water management plan and a water resource plan, and it provides a timeline, a calendar for doing so. You won't hear out of my mouth anything political. You're not going to hear anything out of my mouth that is positioning or personal. We fought hard to get that administrative consent order to the table. It's what resulted in the 900 gallons a day flow that we're now getting, which are changing dramatically some of the results locally in Montponsett Pond. But there is a timeline, and the only reason I filed legislation with respect to MWRA is as an insurance policy in the event that the city of Brockton does not develop the water resource management plan and the water management plan, two separate plans. I'm probably titling them incorrectly.
Comprehensive
water management plan. So we're looking with great enthusiasm and hope that between DEP and the Brockton Water Department, they will develop those plans. They will comply with the consent order that they signed. That public comment will be received and offered. That'll get us all to the next level. Hey, listen, nobody wants the folks in Brockton to be without water. That's never happened. But we don't want the folks around Montponsa Pond and Silver Lake negatively impacted either. And that's why I congratulate the city councilman for dealing with the issue as openly and as honestly he has since the day I met him.
Pine, do you want to have a follow-up?
Well, I wanted to address some of the things Rep. Dubois said. And crafting the discussion that we are having as we're blaming Brockton people that they're the problem, that's not really where it's at. We are blaming the way Brockton is managing its water resources as being the problem, but those decisions are in the hands of very few. Those decisions are not in the hands of the people of Brockton, who I believe are suffering the greatest injustice here, because they're paying an excessive amount of money for water that they're not being delivered. They're paying for Aquaria even though they're not getting Aquaria. They're being forced to contribute to the ruination of one of the greatest assets in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and that is Silver Lake and the river that's connected to it. We tend to forget that we're not having a political discussion or a debate here. When we talk about environmental resources, we're talking about resources that we all need and use. That is, everybody needs and uses. Brockton's rights in 1899 was for domestic purposes. It was not to destroy a lake, to kill all the fish. We had 2,500 fish dead on the shore of Silver Lake this year that were diverted from Furnace Pond and the North River system and found dead on Silver Lake. And we know hundreds of thousands were diverted over. They can't get out of the lake. You know what else? Those river herring are suffering a loss of population. You know what else? The cod eat the river herring. The cod are not doing so well. You have a chain of events here that is being caused by poor management, by politicians that refuse to do what Wynn is talking about, and that is looking at the facts. You need to expand the diversity of water supply in the city of Brockton, or the people of Brockton will suffer through the greatest injustice.
And I can give an example of something that was very, very upsetting to me as a former water commissioner. Drinking water and use domestic use is what we're trying to protect. And I appreciate Rep. Dubois' stand that the people of Brockton, who some are economically challenged, are being asked to pay a lot of money. But it's not really fair to just put it in those terms. We are allowing car washes and laundromats to use drinking water when we had the ability to say to those folks, no, we're sorry, you have to find a different source, you're not going to use our drinking water. In a time when we were supposed to be conserving, we were giving away those permits. And that is just counterproductive. That is doing damage to the long-term ability of us to balance taking from Silver Lake, but also finding other ways to supplement the water. The other big issue was emergency. Yes.
And on several occasions when we brought economic development to the district I represented in the form of laundromats, we tried to go with a well. That was my want, and that isn't what actually happened. So,
is that when you were as a city councilor or as a state rep?
Okay,
Ward 6 City Council, yeah. Right. Okay.
And, and the other huge concern, which is one that Councillor Farwell and I both talked extensively about, we need an emergency plan. I mean, we had the issue where the twin lines at Silver Lake went down, and then we didn't have enough of another supply for an emergency. We have to get that in order. It is totally irresponsible to have a city like that without the backup for emergencies.
I just want to say that while, this is a difficult discussion to have, and there are many sides to it, I'm appreciative that everybody is here to at least
share their thoughts and their insight into the situation. It's important to at least start the conversation and find a direction to go in order to get to the end where everybody is somewhat happy.
So I would just like to add that no one is... It's just unfortunate the way the goalpost gets moved based on, I think, an intent to show causation that places all the damage on Brockton's doorstep, be it its people's or its water.
But
system.
It is, Michelle. It is. You're the one that controls the pump.
The DEP did a review, and they found a lot of the... green algae was actually from the town's mismanagement and the town's ecological disregard.
You're talking about Halifax and Monpondet Pond, not Silver Lake.
Well, the ponds that the water district have authority over, which is what the water district does not have authority over.
Yes,
Silver
they
Lake.
Do. No. Yes, they do. There's a
disagreement there.
Well, read the law.
I have. Can I
just jump in for a minute?
Go ahead. Wynn Fowell on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in because I guess maybe I see this differently. I see some immediate issues that obviously have caused, shall we say, disagreement among all the parties. For my part, I would like to, when I end public service, leave the city in a better position than I found it. I'd like a solution, a 50 to 100-year solution to the issue of water for the people in the city of Brockton, for my grandchildren, for everyone's grandchildren. Mm. And we've got to start thinking about that because, as was just mentioned, if anything happened to Silver Lake, either because of a natural disaster, an earthquake causing a problem, and we are in a high seismic area, I know people don't believe that, or some man-made catastrophe, we do not have sufficient alternative water supplies for the city of Brockton. Right now, Aquaria, when it was pushed to about 3.9 or 4.0 million gallons per day in 2016, something broke down in the plant. That plant has never been pushed to a capacity which would tell us if it's truly capable of producing the water that this city would need. And it would be very expensive. And we have, as I understand it, a pipe that goes over a railroad bridge, and forgive me, I don't know in what community, that can only take about 3.5 million gallons. So if you want to pump more than that up to Brockton on a sustained basis from Aquaria, you would have to go back to the railroad, and they may or may not tell you, yes, you can build another pipe to go over that bridge. Or you might have to tunnel under the river over which the current pipe passes, which I'm told is very expensive. So for all of these reasons, I just think all of us collectively should get together with legislators and to evaluate, is the MWRA a viable option to Brockton? And if so, at what cost? I understand we might be able to tie in the Blue Hills area, which is about 11 miles from the city. I don't know what 11 miles of pipe would cost. I'm also told that we might be able to tie in through Stoughton if the diameter of their pipe is sufficient to be able to handle the flow into Brockton. And who knows, Brockton might be able to wheel water in an emergency if we tie into the MWRA to other communities, which in the next 50 or 100 years might have a water problem. But, so, I mean, the time now is to let's collectively and cooperatively look long-term, and we can squabble about some of the other things in our off time.
Again, you're listening to Monday Night Talk, and we are having an extensive conversation about Silver Lake, the water, the neighboring ponds that are involved, the communities, the stakeholders, and we have a number of people who are here discussing it this evening. And the question I got to put to you, though, Counselor, is that it would be safe to say that the current administration would not entertain such a conversation about MWRA as would the city council entertain a conversation about purchasing Aquaria. So it's kind of like you're kind of deadlocked.
Well, I fear you're right. But, you know, I always look at the glass as being half full. I think with enough dialogue, with enough pressure, if you will, with enough common sense, that perhaps over time, in the next year or two, there will be a willingness to embrace a study to see if it's viable for Brockton to tie into the MWRA. And I'm not so sure the state, given the environmental positives that would come out of such a move, I'm not so sure the state might not contribute significantly to a study, funding a study for that reason. And I would turn to Rep. Calter and Rep. Dubois and others to, you know, have a discussion with the Executive Office of Environmental Affairs and see what their position might be, because Pine and I have discussed this. I think the environmental groups would be behind Brockton tying into the MWRA and creating a long-term 50-100-year water source for us. I certainly do not believe that the Aquaria is ever going to be the solution to Brockton's water needs over the next 50 or 100 years.
I'm
going to
let Kathy Drynan weigh in. She actually is visiting
Thank
a
patient. Thank you, Lynn, for your comments. They're so positive. And while I agree with you that we need the long-range plan, we're all hoping, I think, that it doesn't take the 50 to 100 years to make the plan. I thought it might be a good time for me to just mention that this conversation, as we all know, has been already going on for quite a while. And I thought I would quote Senator Thomas Kennedy, what he said to Larry Rowley back in August 8 in 2013. Larry Rowley, the superintendent of utilities for the city of Brockton, he said, "In the interest of compromise with the towns of Halifax and Hanson, I ask that the city of Brockton seriously explore any and all alternative options for bringing drinking water into the city." So the conversation continues, but I just thought it would be a good time for that quote.
Rep. Calter?
Well, and by the way, folks, I am still rabidly in favor of protecting the interests of Brockton, but I don't see that as being exclusive of recognizing the environmental concerns of other communities. I think we're all in it together.
Wayne, that's exactly what I was going to say, is our interests are not mutually exclusive at all. Two summers ago, when we had the dramatic drought, there are folks that I spoke to and invited them down to Silver Lake, invited them down to Montponset Pond to see how low the water was. And I couldn't get them to visit. They just wouldn't do it. And I know if we asked you to visit, you'd visit in a second. The reality is, and it's not my job to protect the city of Brockton, but most of my family lives in the city of Brockton, so I'm very concerned. And the reality is, that summer, there was the real potential for the spigot drying up. And can you imagine the economic base of Brockton if water just stopped flowing? And that's the type, that's why I say our interests are not mutually exclusive. Aquaria produces at its peak 4 million gallons a day, closer to 3 million gallons a day.
But that's under current permit. It can go up to 5, supposedly,
that's
right?
Correct. Even if it were 5.
They would have to go
Brockton currently uses 12 million gallons a day. So
yep.
if that pipeline breaks, if that pipeline breaks or the water source dries up or it's contaminated by an external or economical source, then there is no backup that gets Brockton anywhere near its needs. Think about that. If you're the mayor of Brockton, how do you sleep at night knowing there's no backup plan should that pipe break?
But also, how do you handle
And it's not just the drinking water. It's your fire suppression systems and all of your buildings fire that zone. Have those.
Well, we have some unused. We had the Pleasant Street well that we once had that we let go, and the Hubbard Street well that could be, again, conservation and planning are in order. We can't just keep pushing along here and doing nothing. That's part of what's exacerbating.
The Hubbard Avenue well is permitted. The Pleasant Street well was never developed. So I think the thing that people have to come back to, and as far as Aquaria is concerned, its maximum production is 4 million gallons a day, and it is permitted to deliver 5. So they don't need another permit other than the
updated... If they were to double it, right?
The updated permits for the Taunton River Basin.
Right.
They're due to be updated, and there was a Permit Extension mm-hmm. Act. So that goes on. But what Brockton has to do is maximize its use of Aquaria now in order to buy time to do what Wynn is talking about.
What we're going to do is we're going to step aside. You are listening to a great conversation here on Monday Night Talk, heard on 959 WATD. We're going to step aside for just a moment. When we come back, we are going to continue this conversation. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Right, we are back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk. And Ben, what we're going to do right now is we're going to roll the fifth installment. This is the future of Silver Lake.
But right now, it is time for part five as Kevin concludes his feature series on Silver Lake. The future of water in the Plymouth County region is still being determined. In our final series segment on Silver Lake and its water uses, WATD's Kevin Tachi looks at the path of the future as today's decisions could have dramatic consequences on the shared resource of Silver Lake.
Future use and management of Silver Lake, along with the surrounding brooks and ponds, still hangs in the balance. In our earlier segments, we learned the history of the lake and its uses, about its ecological problems, the many ways it's been managed, both politically and economically, and possible alternatives. One thing is for certain, the demand for clean drinking water will never diminish. Don Howard, who is a Hanson Water Commissioner with 6 decades worth of experience, shares his concerns.
Everybody in the country needs water, and people don't realize that the water problem is not just here in Brockton and Fresenius and Plymouth County. It's all over the world. The prices aren't going down, and as years go on, it's going to cost you more money for water. Come together.
Local legislators like State Representative Tom Coulter believes that a cooperative effort amongst all stakeholders could help Brockton gain financial assistance from the state for other alternatives and also go a long way towards the future preservation of Silver Lake.
The solution shouldn't be and can't be the destruction of precious bodies of water at Monpotsett Pond and Silver Lake.
If this valuable resource is to have long-term sustainability, it will require a change in the city's current practices.
To change the perception in Brockton that this is a bottomless pit of clean water, because it isn't.
City officials like at-large councilor and former mayor Wynn Fowell acknowledges the need for Brockton to develop and adopt a series of comprehensive water alternatives.
You cannot look at the years 2017 to 2067 and think that we're just going to roll merrily along and predominantly take what we need from Silver Lake, even if we were to augment it by 2 million gallons a day from Aquaria. Even if we only took 9 or 10 million gallons a day from Silver Lake, I think we need a long-term water solution. And I'm absolutely convinced that if the city were to embrace that concept, we would get the kind of regional support and legislative support and state support that would make that a reality.
In order to realize a new and better approach to local water management, it'll require additional resources, time, and true collaboration. Kate Archer, who is a key contributor to this series, a UMass Boston educator and former member of the Brockton Water Commission, shares her thoughts and concerns on the situation moving forward.
Water is a shared commodity, and as such, it's shared responsibility for all the communities in this area. People need to recognize that this is going to take a long time to reverse the bad decisions and impacts. We all must adhere to the best practices that the state and local officials have come up with, but we also have to all pay into new infrastructure and new improvements so that we can guarantee for the future our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren will have access to clean, safe drinking water.
The intent of this five-part series is to give communities and many stakeholders a chance to share information, weigh in on the Silver Lake issue, and put forth their concerns and suggestions to remedy this long-standing problem. Kevin Tachi, WATD News. It is worth noting that the series is up on the homepage of the stations, 959WATD.com. There's a banner, Silver Lake Water Series with Kevin Tachi. Now, it's also going to be a podcast with this great conversation that we've had this evening with Pine Dubois, Rob Coulter, of course, Kathy Drynan, Don Howard, who's going to speak next, Representative Michelle Dubois, and my co-producer, co-host for the evening, Kate Archer, and on the phone, at-large counselor Wynn Falwell. I want to thank all of you again. I know we've done it a couple of times, but, you know, it was with your help that we were able to put this together. I want to make sure we thank Charlie. Charlie was not able to join Kathy this evening because he's hunkered down doing budget stuff. So he apologized, but said Kathy would be able to come in and kind of really share her thoughts on the situation where she has dealt with it and be a good fit with the group. And I he was right. I want to turn to Dawn, and Dawn hasn't really said much. She's not a man of many words, but give me your thoughts. I mean, you know, representing the town of Hanson, you know, Hanson had their issues not too long ago where you put in a new water tank. Did you not put out? Oh, you cleaned the water.
We had the water tank
redone. Refurbed, right.
And in a period of time of 3 months, we used $350,000 of Hanson water money to pay for the amount of water that we used for 3 months, April, May, and June.
From Brockton.
I had the girls go back into the books and find out how much electricity we used on January, February, and March. And according to the meters and paying the electric bill, we only used $30,000 worth of electricity to run four pumps that we used to supply the town of Hanson with water. So in other words, we paid $300,000 for Brockton for water that, needless to say, we shouldn't have had to done, but we were mandated to paint the water tank. I've been working in this area since 1957. I started with Earl Simmons, and I worked all over Plymouth County. And back then, all the towns were pretty satisfied with Silver Lake because the population wasn't that high. But nowadays, the water use in Silver Lake, I've been getting some printouts of the water use. They've been pumping 10 to 11 million gallons a day out of Silver Lake. Silver Lake is like a big well. It's an aquifer that holds many million gallons of water. And to get the water to run through the aquifer to reclaim into the Silver Lake, you're only gaining back roughly 4 million gallons of water. And so that you're losing 4 million gallons out of, say, 12,000, so it leaves you 8.
Mm. 12 million.
If you use Aquaria, you're only going to gain 4. Where are you going to get the other 4 million gallons of water? You have to keep Silver Lake full in order to get a runoff off it so that the fish can get out for the sake of the fish growth population. And it's just my opinion, basically. Well, I talked with Alex Mansfield about a couple meetings ago in the Plymouth County Central Water Division, and he agreed with me on you'd only reclaim 4 million gallons from Silver Lake daily, and if you get 4 from Aquaria, that's 8. So daily, you're losing 4 million gallons a day. And I think that another source should be found so that you could keep Silver Lake full and not pump out that much water every day. And with the cost of everything today, I don't know what it costs Brockton to put the water line in from, what is it, Dighton to Brockton, but it was done, and I'm sure that's probably more miles.
It's over 20.
I think to connect with the MWRA, I don't think it's that long. But the problem today is getting to...
It's Stoughton. It's Stoughton. The councilor just said Stoughton. It's just, you know, the next town over.
No.
For the MWRA?
No, it's not Stoughton. In order for Brockton to... the Stoughton pipe is owned by the town of Stoughton.
And it's not big enough.
So their maximum, the maximum they can pump through it is 2 million gallons a day, and they use 1.5 or something like that. So there's a limitation there. And in order to really develop the MWRA thing, you have to think Braintree, you have to think... Weymouth Naval Air Station combination, then you could come through
Union Point.
And they could get the water.
You could come through Union Point into Brockton, and that would be very short.
Right.
And that's why I think Tom is right. You could get the state to help because I think the state wants Union Point.
And Braintree and Holbrook are struggling with water issues already.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Counselor? Hold on,
yeah,
Council.
There was a recent article in the Enterprise that Holbrook was considering trying to link into the MWRA because of water issues. So that particular concept is being embraced by more communities.
But when you look at the financial, and Representative Dubois can probably speak to this because she was a city councilor, the millions of dollars that have been spent by the city of Brockton on Aquaria.
They didn't spend any money on Aquaria.
But what I'm saying, though, is they've been under contract for how many years?
Oh, we're going on 10 years now.
10 years, and how much?
10 years to go. And it goes, I guess what I would like to say is that the issue, I think we're kind of talking past each other in that the MWRA solution is a solution, but that solution can't come with decreasing Brockton's water rights over Silver Lake. And that is like period, full stop. And I don't understand why when Councillor Farwell phrases it maybe in a different way, maybe we don't have to take our full take from Silver Lake. I would never say that's necessary if we could figure out a way to hook
into
MWRA.
We'll go back to what Brockton was taking in 1899, and you can have that, all right?
Well, I don't know if you're the boss of that. I'm sorry, Pine. But what I'm saying is we're talking past each other because there are water rights from the 1800s, and Brockton does need to hook into another water source. That's understandable. But in that same breath, what I think gets people mad at this table, it seems, is when you say, but Brockton should be willing to do that, and if I was in charge, that's what would be happening. But Brockton is not going to give up its water rights from 1895. That doesn't mean that people shouldn't be managing the water correctly. And so I think that should be a kumbaya moment. And we should all say, great, let's work on that. But for some reason, there must be unspoken intention, because you would think that this is exactly what you're asking for. But then I get blank stares and anger. So what I'm saying is, sure, let's look at hooking into MWRA. Let's look at good water management. But let's stop blaming Brockton for all the green algae and the problems when the town itself was allowing a restaurant to dump its raw sewage into the pond for decades and decades and decades. So, I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around, and it isn't the Brockton
But the day of finger pointing has to come to an end. You're correct that right. that a solution has to be found.
Hey, my solution, my response to the rep is great. Let's do that. Right. Nobody's looking for Brockton to give up its water rights.
No,
that's what it seems.
There's
like.
Not a single document that suggests that. There's not a single soundbite that suggests that. All we're suggesting is that Brockton, as the administrative consent order requires, that Brockton develop a water resource management plan that deals with reality.
And I believe that's happening.
Okay,
in
I think
reality,
that's
the, and not in propaganda. That's what I'm saying.
We've been in another whole session here, and I haven't heard any propaganda. We're just trying to solve a problem that exists for Brockton, and it exists for the other towns around Silver Lake and Montpensier Pond. The solution has got to be other sources. You have to understand.
For many months, the Brockton was the devil. That was the reason.
They're not tonight.
That the blue-green algae was happening, and it stirred up so much resentment in the residents in the South Coast around the water bodies because they had to look at this awful, toxic mess. Well, and I don't blame them for being mad.
But it's not about looking at it. It's about the health
impacts. And smelling it and everything, of course. But what I'm saying is then the DEP did the study, and the DEP found that it was a bunch of propaganda saying that Brockton was the reason. And they probably found Brockton 25% at fault in the towns in their historic
management. Can I be constructive here?
Yeah.
I'd like to be constructive here, and I would challenge the rep. Let's let this be the first day moving forward.
Right.
We have a shared problem. You're a legislator, I'm a legislator. Exactly. We're not trying to out each other, to spot each other. We have a problem that as the city councilman says, if we work together, we can fix it. But imagine the first time we went to City Hall together, your mayor said to us, stay the hell away from our water. So where does the discussion go from that starting point?
Well, I can't speak for the mayor, and I can't speak that that's what he said. And I've
well, I'm telling you that's what he said.
Let me sit here, go ahead.
Counselor,
all I'm trying to say is where does the discussion go from there, if that's the starting point? So let's have this be a new day.
Here's the thing that we've got to remember. None of us tonight or tomorrow knows if we could face an extremely severe drought in the next 5, 10, 15, 50 years.
We know you can't.
We may have rights to take water from Silver Lake, and I'm not suggesting we give them up. But we can't kill the golden goose that gives us, as you would say, the reward, and that's the lake. And so that's why I'm so ardent about looking at potential alternatives so that we don't put ourselves into a position where we've got the rights to take water from something that's not going to be able to sustain what we need over the next 25, 50 to 100 years. I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. And if anyone disagrees, please let me know. I don't have a big ego, but we've got a plan for 50 or 100 years. We can't just look at 5 years out, 10 years out. What will the lake be for the next half century?
Your leadership on this is truly appreciated.
Can you sustain the take that's coming out of there? I don't have an answer to that. I'm not a scientist.
I'm just concerned,
that's all.
We have to acknowledge in this new day moving forward that when we talk about, and this is not propaganda, Representative, when we talk about the poor people of Brockton can't afford to pay for water, I want to remind the representative that my town, Kingston, which sits as a neighbor to Silver Lake, we can jump in it. We spend tens of millions of dollars drilling wells and putting in treatment systems that we pass on through an enterprise fund to our ratepayers. Everybody pays for their water.
I don't know if anybody is saying that the poor people of Brockton can't afford their water.
Oh, good.
We just want to make sure that we're not going to be pushed into giving up water rights. I am very open.
No one will do that to you.
I've done tours. Well, you can't let other people do things to you. You have to be proactive about asserting your rights.
It's death by a thousand cuts when we're not making day-to-day good decisions.
Right.
And again, putting laundromats and sprinkler systems and allowing those people to use
right.
that.
And then when you get political, I mean, there is ongoing political gridlock as to what to do with the alternatives that Brockton has. And that is, do they buy a quarry? Is a quarry a solution?
I'm against it.
I know past administrations had looked to see how they could get out of that contract with the quarry. And then from my understanding was there was no way to get out of it.
If I were mayor, I would work on getting out of the contract with Aquaria. I think we should pay off that white elephant and leave them with the cost to disassemble it, or wait till they go bankrupt and get it for a steal, and be looking into MWRA hookups.
Right.
Do well for mayor.
Oh my God.
I like that.
But
here's the thing, though.
The thought is the conversations.
Come on, guys. Let's keep it constructive. What I want to say is that I've had conversations with the mayor. I wish we had a chance to have him on. Obviously, he was unable to be a part of the conversation.
He's always unable to.
He chooses not to be a part of that.
It's
reality.
But what I'm saying here is that every time that I've asked him, you heard the sound cuts, myself and Kate working on that audio, and one of the things he said is at the end of the contract, if you know the city buys Aquaria, that they'll have something tangible. The way it's going right now, all they're going to have are receipts for $7, $8, $9 million that they have paid out. So the idea is to be able to have something tangible. That's according to the current administration. But you have city councils like, oh, we're not going to spend that kind of money for a plant that isn't worth it.
Look, I think that, I agree with the mayor that they should buy the plant. I agree with Wynn that $78 million is too much. And so if I was mayor, I would be getting it for $50
million. Wow.
And that's a good deal. So that's where the energy should go, because in reality, MWRA is a great idea and Brockton should do it, but it's 10 or 15 years away. Silver Lake, Monponset Pond, Furnace Pond, the restoration that's going on cannot wait that long. You have to use Aquaria to the max that you can, and that right now today would be $5 million with some structural improvements to the plant and to the pipe that was mentioned. That's what has to happen.
I'm going to let Wynn have the let him say his final words and release him from the phone lines. Wynn, what do you want to say in closing in regards to the situation, the series that we did, and the situation?
Well, first of all, I think the group, and I don't include myself in the group, I'm talking about the people who do this on a daily basis. There is no reason why we cannot get the right people together, approach the state, work cooperatively, look at alternatives for Brockton, which I hope will be the MWRA. I am adamantly opposed to Aquaria because, A, we automatically assume all of the operational costs, which includes labor costs. We would assume all of the costs for the utilities, compliance checks that have to be done. I was told by someone I consider an expert who's been in the business 40 years, that plant's not worth more than $25 million. And he said, don't ever buy a plant that you've never worked to maximum capacity for at least 365 consecutive days, because you don't know whether that machinery will hold up. That's really nothing more than a piece of machinery with multiple pumps, and if you only use it sporadically and you never maximize the production, you really don't know whether that's going to hold up and give you the product at the end of the pipe that you think you are getting. So I'm convinced that environmentally we would be better off hooking up to the MWRA. They have that capacity. Their aquifer is pristine and protected, and it's not a river. It's mm-hmm. not a tributary. It's not brackish water that has to be treated, and I hope we can get some movement in that direction.
Wynn, we thank you very much for your assistance on the water series and contributing to tonight's conversation.
Thank you. Good night to all. It was a pleasure to be
thank
here.
Thank you, Wynn.
Anybody else? We got about a minute and a half. Anybody else want to weigh in?
Just a brief comment, Kevin. At the end of the day, we're all going to be leaving public service at one time or another. We're all going to leave a legacy. And if that pipe breaks that goes from Silver Lake to Brockton, or if that water supply is destroyed and cannot feed the people of Brockton with nourishing water, people are going to ask, what did you know? When did you know it? And why did you do nothing about it? And I think it's a very fair question.
Anybody else?
I think we have to fix the issue, and I hope we can all get together, as Michelle suggested, and hammer out a solution this year.
This week? Right. Anything closing? Anybody?
Looking forward to getting started on that.
Well, I think it's just to remember that this is a marathon, not a sprint.
All right. And I want to take a moment to thank Kate for her hard work over the past year. There was a lot of hours that were put in to be able to kind of get together the information and try to put it together in a fair, concise manner, and to be able to get everybody's opinions in on this. So,
very well done.
Thank you, Kevin.
So we actually have somebody is asking what Aquaria is, and I will answer you. Aquaria is a desalination plant that is located in Dighton, and it pumps water, salt water, seawater. From
brackish
the Taunton River.
Brackish water.
And it's owned by a company in South Korea.
Yes. And prior to that, I think Spain. So I hope that answered your question. Thank you.
Quite the boondoggle.
Yes. And if you want to hear the entire series, it is up on our website, 959WATD.com. And click on the banner. It says Silver Lake Water Series. I thank all of you. And until next week at 6:15 p.m., we'll look forward to hearing from you. And we'll have more great conversations. And, of course, this podcast will be one of those items that will be up. So I want to thank everybody who attended, even though we knew that there was going to be some nasty weather, some winter weather warnings that were out there. So we thank all of you for being here. Now, don't go anywhere, because we're going to go outside and take a picture, so at least everybody knows put the faces to the voices that were here. And I want to thank Ben for doing a great job this evening as he's working the board. Ben, we're out.